speaking by faith. Next time we play that song, I'm believing it would take up the whole offering time as we're still giving. That's how much we're going to grow. Not just spiritually, but in numbers. Because y'all know what today is. It's today's message. The church series, part two. You get a line, and I'll get a pole. We're talking about discipleship. Jesus had told his disciples, come and I will make you, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So turn to your neighbor and say, you get a line, and I'll get a pole. And whatever you call your honey, sugar dumpling, sweet cakes, I don't know what y'all say. I just call Kristen babe. See some of those videos where they couples call each other by their real name. What did you call me? Yeah. Oh, babe. Okay. All right. Well, if you got your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. We're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. We're going to skip around with the Passion. There's going to be some that's in the Passion. I'm going to read it from here, but try to follow along as good as you can on the screen, okay? I think they were having some problems with that. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Underline that word. Some doubted, if you got that in your Bible. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the age, amen. Even to the end of age, amen. Now he tells these 11, of course, you know, the one that basically ended up taking his own life because of his betrayal, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And his repentance wasn't really a true godly sorrow repentance. It was just basically, you know, I'm sorry that I gave an innocent man over. But Jesus, in other gospels, he talks about this. Now, here's the thing. As being a disciple of Christ, you're going to have some doubt. There's going to be some doubt that arises. These men walked with Jesus. They slept with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They did ministry with him. And yet they still doubted even after the part. Luke 24 says this. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts, underline that again, arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. They physically saw Jesus. They heard the stories, and yet they still doubted that he was raised to life. And this last account in Mark 16. It says, now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard he was alive, he had been seen by her. They did not believe. You can highlight that. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. It's another case. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I once had an individual tell me, well, that's not for everybody. I said, exactly. I said, it says for those who believe. That's not hard to understand. You have to believe in order for those things to happen in your life. He rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, and then he said, go. His rebuke didn't last very long. It didn't take a whole long time for him to realize that. Rebuke, correction doesn't take a long time. Now, if somebody is going off key and everything else, and they need restoration, may take a long time, but rebuke and correction is, it's stern. It's right to the point. When you are dealing with making disciples for the kingdom of God, doubt and unbelief will be a part of the process. Some people will not believe. You have believers that are unbelieving. And then you can have unbelievers that are believing. They can get more in agreement with you than believers do. I don't know if you've ever been a part of, well, you know, people are believing for God to heal and move into place, and then people kind of grow tired and weary, and some of them get up and leave, and, well, since all the unbelievers left, now God can actually start moving in this place. Being a disciple, that's part of your everyday life. You're a believer. There's a reason why you're called a believer, is because you believe the teachings and what Jesus had done and what he has done for you through the cross. We believe that. We don't make light of that situation. So what makes you think that you're going to doubt, you're not going to doubt God at some point in your life? I know I did for one time, and that's all it took. Because he showed me that, corrected me through his word, never again. So don't beat yourself up if you had. A lot of people have been in your position. Okay, I don't know if I'm doubting. I don't know what God is doing in my life right now. I don't know what he's talking about, how I can't see his hand in this. Understand, he said he'll never leave you, nor forsake you. This Christian life isn't easy to live. Some people believe, man, it is so boring being a Christian. No, it's not. It's boring being a convert. It's boring just sitting in your chair every Sunday and just checking it all. I went to church today. That's good. I'm good for the week. And then that's it. And then not do anything else. Never, ever get involved in anything. Never impact anyone's life. Never share the gospel, the good news with people. Yeah, that's boring. But when you're living the life of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, listen here, write this down. Disciples will make disciples. If you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you will help make disciples. Even if it's just one for the year, God bless you. That's awesome. But disciples will make disciples. Converts will just sit and not ever participate. God still loves you. There's a greater purpose for you. You're missing out on a whole nother level of stuff. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. Do I have to do all of that? Cast out demons? No, you don't have to, but you get to. You get to. You get to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you've never done that, I'm letting you know right now, God using you in that particular moment. He needed you there. And when you pray for somebody and the power of God just goes through their body and they just become well, they recover from that. Oh, they're very appreciative of your prayers and your and coming to pray for them and speaking the word and casting that out, what have you. They are very appreciative, not because of you per se, it's because of Christ living in you. You get to. That's like everyone is getting equipped for their assignment, and then some choose to not use his authority, his grace, his mercy, his blood, his word, his power, his anointing, and his blessing. Nah, I'll just do it on my own. You can't do it in your own power. This is standard issue stuff for every believer. Nah, I'm just going to do my own thing. God had given Adam dominion and dominance over everything. over everything. But here's the thing. The one thing he didn't give him dominance over is people. You got dominance over every evil spirit out there. But I don't understand why people will try to dominate other people. You're spending way too much time, way too much energy trying to do something you're not ever called to do. Because the Spirit of God will never, ever control you. We yield to him. We become a vessel for him. We say, Lord, make me. Shape me, mold me. God isn't just going to do it just to do it. He can, but he chooses not to. He's not going to violate your free will and what he's given you. We allow him to do those things and move into our lives and our circumstances and our situations because he is our Lord and Savior. Philippians. True disciples of Jesus does not have to try and seek dominion over each other, but looks out for the interests of others. Philippians 2:1-5, if you can follow along, it says, look how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt his tender affection and mercy. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with harmonious purpose and you will fill my heart with abounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Abandon every display of selfishness. There was a time I grew up with five brothers. My mom made us share everything. Shared rooms. I mean, we had four. It was a four-bedroom house. My older brother got his own room, so there's five of us with two rooms. We had to share everything. Stick of gum, split it in half. Last longer. When we were younger, we had, you know, a can of Pepsi or Coke or what have you. Get a coffee cup, pour it in there. You get a little bit here, you get a little bit there, and then it goes a long way when you share. So when it got to the time for me to get on out on my own and I'm coming here to Fort Hays, I was very, very selfish. I remember there was a time when I had put some shoes on layaway and Kristen went and got them off and then she, why don't you let my brother use those shoes for homecoming? I was like, no, I'm not going to have somebody put their feet in my shoes. I was upset and it was just, what was the big deal? Selfishness. I didn't want Seth to wear my shoes. Not before me. Good night. Let me at least stink them up first. But I seen later on, it's like, how selfish was that? Because I just couldn't share my own shoes. Now, I mean, I can wear my own kid's shoes. Getting Ethan's and TJ's and stuff. My wardrobe doubles up once I start losing some weight. But I'll never get into those skinny jeans. Understand it. You will never... ever catch me in those jokers. Not ever. That is a bad choice right there, buddy. Adam fell and handed dominion and authority over the earth to Satan. Why Satan was able to tempt Jesus in Luke 4 says this in the Passion. The devil lifted Jesus high into the sky and in a flash showed him all the kingdoms and regions of the world. The devil then said to Jesus, all of this with all of his power, authority and splendor is mine to give whomever I wish. Just do one thing and you will have it all. Simply bow down to worship me and it will be yours. You will possess everything. It was Satan's to give. But Jesus didn't want to get it that way because there was already a plan before the foundations of the world to redeem mankind. Jesus was going to do it the right way and bow down and worship you. I'm getting ready to whoop your tail. And sometimes we want to take the easy way out. That would have been the easy way out. But sometimes God doesn't want us to take the easy way out. He doesn't want us to take the easy road. Because in that process of being crushed and being abandoned, whatever the case, being persecuted, being talked about in every which way. Now, being talked about is not persecution, is not the same. People who are overseas are being persecuted. You're not being thrown in jail for preaching Jesus. But here's the thing. In that process, God is bringing something out of you that wasn't there. That was already there, but you didn't know it was there. You thinking times are hard. That's like I tell, the word I was looking for last week, instead of uncomfortableness, discomfort. It was just a brain fart. I mean, my goodness. Discomfort. You go for comfort. But in that process, this is when all these other things begin to come out of you. What's really in you? Is the word of God in you, or was it just a facade? When I was tried, and I wouldn't say tried, but going through all that COVID and stuff, what was in me? The word. Just couldn't speak it. But the word was in me, and I knew I wasn't going to die, regardless of what was going on. They called me the miracle baby. My dad used to call me that all the time. Hated it. Didn't like it. But that was something that he was, I wouldn't say proud of. That was something that was, it was a blessing because he saw what God had done in my life. My younger brother, Dante. Y'all seen him at the 16 years old, has suffered a cardiac arrest on a court. Didn't get any oxygen to his brain for 11 minutes. He calls him his miracle baby. He could have died right there, but he didn't. I haven't backed down from him being fully restored and healed. Because God is a healer. He's the Redeemer. Luke 4:8, and Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." When Jesus was present on the earth, the kingdoms was Satan's to give, but God already had a plan to take it back. So when Jesus died and he led captivity captive, he set free those who were Old Testament saints. He set them free. He preached the gospel. He preached the word, and he ascended on high with them there. He took them out of hell. When we make disciples, we share the good news of the gospel with people who need it, who need to hear it, who are in bondage, who are in chains. We share what Jesus has done for them. And it's not so that we can bring followers to us. You come follow me. It's come follow Christ as I follow Christ. Pure motives, pure intentions. It isn't, I'm trying to start my own ministry up, so I'm going to take this people's church, I'm going to take their members in every which way. That's not our vision. We're connecting you into real relationships while serving the real one, Jesus. All authority. The only reason we have authority and power on earth because Jesus had been given authority and he shared it with his disciples, the church, his bride. That power and authority did not diminish over all the years. The same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead lives and abides in you today. Has not diminished, not one ounce. Same power. Same anointing. It's the same authority. Well, there's a lot of devils out there. Good. That means the church is going to have to wake up and start doing what they're called to do. That means converts are going to have to go to being a disciple. You're called to do so much great, so much greater things than what you're doing right now. I remember the first time I ever led somebody to the Holy Spirit. I mean, to the Lord, not to the Lord, but I've never been a part of helping people to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we had our college group, and there was Timmy, Some of y'all remember Timmy and Ariel and Jamil, and there was Lauren, and there was somebody else there, I believe. But there was about four or five of them in that room, Pastor West's old office. And here I am. I ask them, how do you do this? I never knew, because we were doing a study guide, and at the end it says, lead them to the Holy Spirit. Never done this before. How do you do this? So I just go basically by what it said right there. I said, all right, Lord, I need help, because I have no clue on what I'm doing. Put on some music and just allow them to enter in. And I'm telling you, the power of God hit that place. Timmy was like, he said, you know, growing up in a church, he's like, he was almost there, like, as far as receiving his prayer language and speaking in tongues. He would almost get there and you'd never get there. Man, he was just flowing. I go to Jamil. Jamil's over. I said, good night. Ariel, I mean, the Holy Spirit hit her. And this young lady sitting there, she's just weeping because of the presence of God. I said, is everything all right? She goes, I just never experienced the power of God like this in my life. You and me both. I wouldn't know how to lead somebody to the Lord, Pastor Tim. Guess what? You're going to have trial and error. You're not going to do it perfectly. But as long as your heart is pure before the Lord, He's going to work those things out in you. As you continue to grow, don't back down from that. Well, somebody may go off on you. I remember there's a story that Andy Womack had told, and that he was doing a Bible study, and this guy was just going off on him and just basically beat him down. Like, they had a discussion. This guy won. He got up and left. Everybody went up and left with him. But Andrew never backed down. And he was just sitting in. The guy comes back about 15, 30 minutes later. And the guy said, you know, I went to, you know, Ivy League college and stuff, and they teach us to do that type of stuff. But I see you got the real thing. I want what you have. I say, even though he may have lost the debate or what have you, the reality of it is he did these things out of a pure heart. And some people are just looking just to debate. Who cares? You may not know a lot, but you do know this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It gets better. It gets better when you're a disciple, not worse. It gets better. Go and make disciples. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father. Mending their nets, he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus sends out this great commission to his disciples and tells them to go and make disciples. He did it in his ministry, and after that, he accomplished it. And all he set out to do, he tells them to go and do the exact same thing. Go and make disciples. I don't know what I'm called to do. Go and make disciples. But I don't know what my purpose is. Go and make disciples. There's somebody in your town. There's somebody in your city. There's somebody on your block. There's somebody in your family that you can share the gospel with. Go and make disciples. It's not going to be easy. You may get a lot of pushback, but go and make disciples. You know, realize there's a lot more material out there for you to use. If you need it, you can Google it, you can YouTube it, you can find out how do you witness to someone. You can find out all that stuff out there. But here's the thing, allow it to fit the narrative, your personality. Go and make disciples. Turn to your neighbor and say, you get a line, and I'll get a pole. Y'all like that? I learned that in sixth grade camp. That song stuck in me. The Christian life is not boring. So, converts basically go to church. They sit in the chairs, criticize everything that is wrong with the service. And then afterwards, leave and don't talk to anyone. They don't attend any church functions with the church community. They rarely ever give. They don't help out with church projects. That's not what we're called to do. And he's like, he's talking about me. I'm trying not to allow that to condemn you. I'm not trying to condemn. I was like that. I rarely ever came to church. Kristen was dragging the kids to church by herself while I was asleep. Well, I had an excuse. I got off at 5, 6:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. But all I was doing was cleaning. We were just cleaning the church. And you kind of know that inward witness is saying, you know you're supposed to be doing more. Then they started helping out, filling in every once in a while, singing on the worship team. That's kind of how I came out of my shell. Had me lead a song for the first time. I was like, do you know I'm very, very shy, right? You know I don't do this. I'm introverted. Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead and lead. Started filling out on the drums, filling in on the drums. We started helping out with 180 when Brandon was doing it. Little by little, I started to understand my purpose. Was asked to be the youth pastor, so I did that. Was filling in for Pastor West every now and then. Now I'm here. You mean to tell me I'm going to be running my church? No. That's not what it is. That's not what it's about. It's about going and making disciples for the kingdom. Not for Westview Church. For the kingdom. Some people want you to make disciples for their church so that there's more people that's going to come in. I ain't worried about that. God, take care of that. Our responsibility is to take care of what he's called us to do. Go and make disciples. You live from out of town, there's disciples to be made in your city. You ain't got to drag them to church. But see, when they see the power and the anointing and the authority that you operate in, they going to wonder, how is it that you're able to do that? I may have to roll with you next Sunday. And for those, I could wait until later, but it's on my mind now. Wednesday night, start up this Wednesday. We're going to get together. We're going to have a good time. We're going to go and pray for our community. Wednesday will mark the 1 year that I went into the hospital. But I guarantee you, if you come and you're devoted to being a disciple for Jesus Christ, come Wednesday. And up until December, you're going to see a significant change in your life because of the spiritual growth that you are going to partake in. I guarantee it. Do I want to grow? That's a question you got to ask yourself. Do I want to grow spiritually? We're growing physically. But do I want to grow spiritually? If you do, come Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I guarantee it. You will grow. There's a young lady who we had in our college ministry, Jennifer. Jennifer was awesome. She was energetic. She just wanted to help out. Married a nice young man. And I think I almost had a breakdown, honestly. Because, you groom them up. You see that just in 1 year, she went from here to like here as far as her spiritual growth. And all we were doing was those Bible study guys that we do on Wednesday nights. But she was being challenged in a good way. and she was excited to come. Her fiance had come, came back, and was living here for a little bit, and then God moved them to Arizona. I was like, serenity now. When you see that happen, I'm telling you, it is not a prideful thing in that sense when you see what God is doing in somebody else's life because they chose to yield to Him. But when you were a helper in that, you can't do anything else but to give God glory. We want to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven, not on earth. In heaven. That's one of the ways. Go and make disciples. Matthew 16, there's a cost for following Jesus. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. What is the Holy Spirit right now pricking at your heart? What do I need to give up in my life? What is the cost? To give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? It's not. You see, a lot of people today are having problems. Here. And it could be a whole lot of other things, but it also could be this. What are they not giving up? And God is saying, you need to give this up. This is a big distraction in your life. What are you holding on to? Why is this so important in your life? Why can't you give this up? And all you have to do is just let it go and pick up the cross. Pick up the cross. Spend some time with me in the morning. It don't matter if it's 3 o'clock. When you wake up, spend some time with me. You're up for a reason. Spend some time with me in prayer. Oh, I couldn't go back to sleep, so I watch all my shows. That's the time when you're supposed to be spending with the Lord. Every day you make the decision, Jesus, I'm following you today. Your purpose in your heart, that is His plan for your life over your plans for your life. Remember, disciples will make disciples, even if it's your own kids. Disciples will make disciples. That's how you know you're growing, and that's how you know they are growing. Because when they begin to make disciples as well and share their faith with other people, you're doing something. Not for you, not for the church, but for the kingdom. So if there's somebody in your heart right now, who can I share this with? I'm believing God will put something on you. Put someone on your heart that you can share that with. There's somebody. Who's next? Who's next? Converts keep the word of God to themselves. They don't share it. They keep it to themselves. They become selfish. Disciples share the good news with others and make disciples for the kingdom of God. But it will cost you something. It may cost you your influence that you may have. Don't worry about that. God can build that up. It may cost you your reputation. You might lose friends. It happens. Didn't need them anyway. What would happen if you totally gave up 100% of your life? Things that may distract you from spending time with Him to follow Jesus. What would happen? 100%. Some people, we may give them 95. We might give them 90. We might give them 75. Some people are at the 15% and they just putting around. But what would happen if you give up 100% of your life, of the distractions that are in your life that's keeping you from spending more time growing more closer with Him? You'd be smiling more because you know how good He is. You'd probably be running the aisles in worship I don't know. Today was on point. I love those songs. What would happen? And I leave you with this. Here's the thing. The Apostle Paul had an opportunity to correct a church that was steeped in immorality. Corinthian church. And he had an opportunity to tear them down. I mean, just give it to them. And for the most part, he kind of did. But that wasn't his motive. It says here in the Passion Translation, he says, "You seem to always be looking at people by their outward appearances. If someone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should remind himself of this. We belong to Christ no less than he does. I am not ashamed, even if I've come across as one who has overstated the authority given to us by the Lord, for it is the authority to help build you up, not tear you down." So if it seems as if I'm stepping on your toes, yeah. Because the goal is to build you up, not to tear you down. The kingdom of God does not tear down. And if the same grace that he has given us, we give to others. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in grace. You know, sometimes I have a lot of trouble with that, especially after the 15th time. I mean, just in the natural, I had a lot of, you know, low tolerance for stuff. It took a lot to get me going. Literally, it would take me a lot. And then, but once I got going, it was over with. I don't do death by a thousand cuts. I go for the jugular. But he tells us to grow in grace. Disciples make what? Disciples. We'll go and make disciples. And I'm not talking about weak, spirit-filled, no power having, no authority operating. Disciples. It's the same power, same authority, same anointing, same blessing, same grace, same mercy, all of that, the same word. As you have received it, you give it to others as well. It doesn't diminish from person to person. There was a season in my life when, I mean, I was just being challenged. I mean, I had never been challenged like this biblically in my life. I said, but the Holy Spirit was just waking me up in the middle of the night saying it didn't pass away. Over and over and over, it never passed away. What? These gifts. These things never passed away. Another person was saying it did. It passed away with the apostles. And the Holy Spirit was waking me up saying, nah, never did. Never did. And it wasn't until I was able to preach that message. I mean, it was like the lid just blew off. It never passed away. These gifts are for you. For the church, for the world, that he's given to you, freely given to you. Freely you have received, now freely give. Go and make disciples. You get a line? Come on. Go and grab it. Now it just all depends on what kind of bait you're going to use. It wasn't, youth ministry wasn't very tough. I mean, I wouldn't say very tough. It was challenging. But once I got the right bait, it became easy. Because all I have to say is, what you doing Wednesday night? Nothing. I don't do anything. You don't go to church anywhere? No. Come out to R3 Wednesday night. Man, we're going to have a lot of food, games, and here's the thing. Here's the best part. You're going to learn about God. You're going to learn a whole lot about Jesus and what he did for you. All right. I said, bring your friends. Cool. Good. Boom. They bring about 3 or 4 friends. While I was a coach, invited the whole basketball team, all 20 players came. It came easy. Once I found the right bait. And the thing is, you're going to have to try several times and in order to get the right bait that's going to fit for you, for your lifestyle, or what have you. I wouldn't say for your lifestyle, because we lay our life down. Use what the Holy Spirit has given you. Go and make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. You realize every nationality. No, I'm only going to make disciples who are conservative. I'm only going to make disciples who are Democrats. I'm only going to make disciples who are white. I'm only going to make disciples who are cowboys. I'm only going to make disciples who are black. I'm only going to make disciples who square dance. Of all nations. We can't forget that. That's an important thing. Your church should look like your community. And our church kind of looks like our community. Little sprinkle of black here, predominantly white. That's our community. But I don't care what the color of the skin is. I care about the heart. Disciples will make disciples. And do it with a pure heart. Sometimes we want to pick and choose who we want. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit do that for you? And go from there. Amen? Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can go out and be those disciples that you've called us to be, Father. Help us with that bait that we're supposed to use in order to catch the fishes of men. And that bait, I believe, Lord, is the love of God. And if there are people in here who are struggling with that, Lord, I'm just having a hard time loving people. Right now, just give it up. Just trade it off. Trade it off for His. He's giving you the real thing. We're not going to go out there and give somebody a knockoff version of what God has given us. Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And all that agree to that say, amen. 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 Before we leave, if the cameraman, Mark, if you can just, Brenda Markley is moving to Wichita. She's going to be living with her daughter. And we're just going to say, give her a big wave. Say bye, Brenda. We love you in every which way. So go ahead and turn to the camera. Wave. Brenda, we miss you. We're going to miss you. Anytime you come back to Hayes, come visit us, please. We love you. Thank you for all your service and being an usher. We love you. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.